You're listening to Wholesaling Inc. episode number 1075.
I feel like land is a little bit different in the sense that, you know, people are not always as emotionally connected as they are to a house for some reason.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Hey, Rhino Nation, it is me, Brent Bowers, your land man. I have a TTP alumni today. His name is Joshua Hill, and he's going to break down how he just made $39,000 selling his first land deal. He actually called a seller and was going for the house, but the seller didn't want to actually sell the house to him because she wanted to list it with a real estate agent. But she ended up having a piece of land that she wanted to get rid of. He's going to break it down exactly how he made $39,000 selling this piece of land to a realtor. Let's go ahead and jump into the episode. All right, Josh Hill, how are you today, my man?
What is going on, Brent? I'm doing well. How you doing, man?
So good. So good. You know, I got the positive news from you the other day. You shared a Facebook message with me that just lit me up, and I'm glad to have you on. And
absolutely, man. First, glad to be on.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And first, I wanted to hit the record button sooner because you were telling me a little bit about what you're doing and kind of how you kind of stopped and started. But let's get into that. You know, let's go right into the meat. What are you up to?
Yeah, man, I am getting back into the wholesaling game. A couple of years ago, I did back in 2019, I did two deals. I did another one in 2020 in January, and I just kind of lost momentum. Been in real estate for about 6 years and worked for a couple different companies, you know, as a realtor doing the traditional realtor thing. And I liked it. I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it. You know, I wasn't really passionate about it. And did a couple of wholesale deals and, you know, got really fired up about wholesaling. And then, you know, COVID happened and everything. And so I kind of just lost momentum, man. And I am just now getting the wheels rolling again. I am currently working for Open Door and work for them full time, but looking at transitioning and getting back into wholesaling full time here shortly, and been focusing on, actually hit a tired landlord list. And that's how I got the deal that I recently got. But just getting back into things and looking at, you know, getting the wheels rolling again. So pretty excited.
What was it that you didn't like about real estate when you first got started? What were you doing that you did?
So I was a realtor with Keller Williams. I started off with them. They were a great company. They had a lot of good training, a lot of good, you know, especially for new people. I got my license and had no idea what I was doing. And, you know, started going after listings and cold calling FSBOs and stuff. And I never felt like I was really in control, you know, and being a realtor was, it was a great start. I learned obviously how to, you know, how to talk to people, how to do sales, how to, you know, prospect and things like that. But I just never really felt like I was in control, I guess, as a realtor. And so, you know, not to knock on the realtor game, it's a great profession, but it just really wasn't ever for me. You know, and I was always more passionate about the investment side and wanted to learn about that stuff. But when I got into it, I just kind of felt like it was out of reach. Like I just thought you know, that was for other people and that I was going to have to be a realtor, you know? So, I never really fell in love with being a realtor, if I'm being 100% honest.
No, that makes complete sense. When I first got started in 2007, I thought to be an investor, I had to be a realtor first. So I'm glad you answered that because we have a lot of misconceptions about these things. So you also mentioned tired landlord list, and I'm always looking for, you know, the next list. What is the tired landlord list?
Yeah, man. So it's just a pretty basic list. I mean, I would certainly like to, you know, eventually start doing some more niche lists, but it was just a list that Brent recommended. I'm in the TTP family, and Brent just kind of, that was one of the first things I learned was that, you know, targeting, you know, vacant landlords, properties that are, people don't live in the property. They have a tenant in there maybe, or maybe it's vacant, you know? And so that was where I got my first deal from 3 years ago, was a tired landlord list. And so I was cold calling that list a few years ago. Right now, because I am working full time with Open Door, I don't have the time freedom that I want. And so that's why I'm looking at transitioning into doing this full time. But I actually sent out, I was doing some texting with batch leads. And so I was texting that list and, you know, had a lady who had a property not far from me that she wanted to sell. And then, you know, we got into the conversation and she said, well, you know, I would be interested in selling this, but I don't know if I would be, I would probably want to list this property, but I do have some land that I would like to sell. And I said, well, that's great. Can you tell me a little bit about the land? And then it kind of went down that path and we started talking about the land, and a couple of days later, locked it up and got it sold. So pretty exciting.
So you found this lead via texting using Batch Leads?
I did, man. Yeah. Yeah. So just,
I'm sorry, you found this actual deal via texting, yeah. I should say. Not the list, but the deal.
Found it on texting. So on Batch, we got everything set up and I had no idea what I was doing with texting either. I'd always done cold calling. So watched a couple of videos and then I've been watching a lot of the live streams with Brent on TTP and Batch Leads, telling you how to set up your texting software and everything. So I just kind of went for it and set up the templates and everything, and then just started shooting out those texts. And I think I had my list was like 3,500 people, and I'm only like 30% of the way through that list right now. So I probably sent out like 1,000 texts and got like 20 leads, and one of them turned out to be a really good one. And so this lady, she had this property, it's been in the family for a long time, and she was looking at getting it sold, and kind of talked price with her, and I looked up the numbers and I saw that it was a potential deal. And so just set the appointment, and she actually lived 2.5 hours away. So she was old school. She didn't have an email. So she wanted to meet me in person. So I was like, man, this has got to be a deal in order for me to drive up there. So I ran the numbers and it was a deal all day long. So I went up there and hung out with her, and she lived in the North Carolina mountains, and I drove up there and got it locked up, and actually took about 3 days to sell, but got it sold pretty quick. So pretty excited.
Oh my gosh. Hey, for the listener out there, it's like wondering what Batch Leads is. They are on the cutting edge. I mean, you could pull lists from these guys. You could skip trace your list and get the phone numbers, and then you could text your list that Josh is talking about directly from Batch Leads. If you want to get on and start using Batch Leads for free, if you go to batchleadsbrent.com, you'll get a 7-day free trial, and they'll also give you your first 1,000 records for free just to try it out. Me and my team are currently using Batch Leads. They are amazing. They're definitely doing some awesome stuff out there. And every time I log in, there's something new and something exciting. They're definitely on the cutting edge. So that's really cool. So 2.5 hours away, you text her about a property that she wants to list. Did you end up getting the property as well, the house under contract as well, or was it just the land?
I just got the land. Yeah. So the house she had, it was in a historic district of Kannapolis, which is like right outside of Charlotte. And so her sister was actually living in that property. And she said, well, you know, I would take a lot for me to sell that property. So the motivation wasn't, you know, quite as high for the house, but the land, you know, she just had no plans for it. And, you know, she didn't really want to, you know, didn't want to list it and didn't want to go through all that and talk to her about, you know, why don't you just hang on to it or, you know, leave it in the family. And she said, no, I think it's time to sell. And so, you know, I just went up there and kind of got the motivation and the four pillars, like Brent talks about. I got that on the phone, the motivation, the timeline, the price and the condition. And then I knew that I had a deal, but I knew that I had to go up there and do the old school sit down and get it signed in person. So that's what I did. I went up there and took the contract and got it signed. So you know, it was really exciting.
It sounds like she wasn't emotionally attached whatsoever to this land. It was almost like some extra baggage. She's just like, look, just take it off my hands.
100%, man. And that's what I've been, you know, been watching your stuff, and you know, I feel like land is a little bit different in the sense that, you know, people are not always as emotionally connected as they are to a house for some reason. I feel like that's something I've noticed, is that, you know, when you've got a house, you know, for whatever reason, a lot of people have more of an emotional tie to a house than they do land, especially if it's, you know, something they've had in the family for a long time. So yeah, she definitely didn't have as much of an emotional attachment to it. And, you know, she was willing to kind of come down on price. And I told her that, you know, I couldn't pay retail, and, you know, I told her that we had to make a profit, and, you know, and kind of let her know that. And she was on board.
You basically were straight with her, very transparent. Look, I'm not going to keep this land. I need to make a profit. And she was cool with that, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that I've learned, you know, being in the Rhino tribe with Bren, and, you know, listening to those guys and listening to how they approach sellers and Todd Toback and just kind of being, you know, just being brutally honest with people, you know, just letting them know, hey, we got to make a profit. It's not a good fit. I completely understand. You know, it's okay if you want to list with a realtor. I won't be upset with you, you know. And so that kind of filters out, you know, people who are going to list, you know, they're going to list anyway. They don't need your permission. So it cuts to the chase and you either are able to solve a problem or you're not. And so that's something that's helped me is just kind of, you know, getting to the brass tacks with sellers and just saying, hey, you know, I offer a service. If it's a good fit, great. If not, no big deal. And like Brent always says, we're deal finders, not deal creators.
There you go. I was just about to say that. I love your no BS, no fluff attitude, Josh. Like you were direct to the point with her and you did not have to twist her arm. You're never going to talk someone into selling you their property at a massive discount. Like, because I get that question all the time. You know, how do I convince a seller to give me their land or their house at 50 cents on the dollar? You don't.
You don't.
You just don't.
Exactly.
You find them at the right time, the right place, you strike while the iron's hot. You provide them such an amazing service that they walk away happy and feeling like they won. And then your buyer wins, you win, or sometimes you just buy it and seller finance it. So it's totally a win-win-win. So I love that you broke that down, Josh. Well, let's talk about it, you know, because I know you had texted me about that deal. And before I even got to see the text, you had already sold the thing. So let's talk about, okay, from the time you got it under contract, you drove 2.5 hours, which I love that it was 2.5 hours because I always recommend, like, when you're just getting started in land, do about a 2.5 hour radius because you want to be able to drive to it maybe. So 2.5 hours, what was next after that?
Yeah. So I had like 3 conversations with her. You know, the first one was just kind of getting some information about the land and, you know, getting the 4 pillars. And then I realized that I had a potential deal. So I spent a lot of due diligence, a lot of time on, you know, the MLS and looking at properties that had sold. And, you know, I realized that there was a pretty good potential spread there. Called her back and dug a little bit deeper. I probably had like a 30-minute conversation with her. She had a neighbor that was interested in buying the property. She said, hey, you know, I've got to talk to my neighbor. He always wanted to buy this property. And I said, hey, no big deal. I completely understand. You know, if you want to sell to the neighbor, no big deal. I get it. No big deal if I'm not the right fit. She said, okay, well, I appreciate that. So I said, when would be a fair time, you know, when would be a timeline that would work? I said, you know, how much time do you want to give this guy? And she said, well, let's give him like 48 hours. And so she said she had been trying to get a hold of him. So gave her 48 hours. You know, I said, hey, if he doesn't want to buy the property, would it be fair for us to do business at that point? She said, yes. And so called her back 2 days later. She said, hey, he doesn't want to buy it. And I said, okay, great. What's the next step? And she said, well, you know, I guess we could put something together. So that's when I drove up there and sat down with them for, I don't know, I was probably up there for 2 or 3 hours just talking about, you know, they live in the mountains. They had a beautiful property. And so we had a great time. But after that, I got it locked up and actually reached out to some realtors, you know, didn't want to waste any time. So I just picked up the phone and looked at some realtors that had sold land in that area. So I went out, like, did a 2-mile radius. Sale. Yep. So looked at the realtors who were actually selling land.
Realtors.
Yep. So that's what I did. I called the realtors. It was the second realtor I called, actually. I told her about the property and said, hey, would you know anybody who's interested? You know, if so, I'd be willing to pay you a commission. And she said, well, actually, we've been looking for some land. I might be interested myself. So I was pretty excited about that and sent her everything. And it was like a day that went by. I didn't hear anything. And I called her back and said, hey, you know, are you guys still interested? Her husband called me and we started negotiating and locked it up and came to an agreement right there on the phone. So it was a pretty quick process.
I want to repeat that because a day went by. You didn't hear back. You reached out. You followed up with your buyer, which was also a land sales specialist realtor, the person doing business out there. And you didn't get in your head like, oh, maybe they don't want it. Maybe they don't like me. You just followed up.
Yep.
And then the husband called. You know, sometimes it takes a second or a third or a 10th or a 12th call.
Absolutely.
So I applaud that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people are getting a little nervous. So what did it look like after that? Did you guys get a purchase agreement or did you sign your contract or how did that look?
Yeah, so we just signed a second purchase agreement and I think we're going to do I'm not sure if we're probably going to double close on it. But yeah, it's pretty exciting. We got it signed on Saturday. They sent it over. So I sent it to title and So they're working on it right now. We do have to get a survey done because it's a big piece of property. I think it has to do with the fact that it's never been sold or anything. Title wants to have a survey. So the buyers are getting a survey, and we're set to close. We were set to close on January the 3rd, but hopefully we'll close in December sometime, maybe early December. A little bit longer of a waiting process, but I guess that's just, like, you know more than I do about the land game, but it's this, I guess that's part of the deal with land. But I am a student of the game, and I'm learning as I go with land, so I'm pretty excited though.
No, this is your first land deal. This is incredible. This is amazing. And you're just getting through the process. Yeah, I see the title company. Sometimes they'll require ILE or a actual full-blown survey. Is your buyer paying for that survey?
They are. Yeah, they're paying. They're going to pay for it. And there was some issues with the, there's no septic there's no water or sewer out there. So they are, they're doing some, they've got a soil scientist out there determining like where the best areas are for it to perk. Not worried about that at all. There's neighbors nearby that have septic systems. So, but I've definitely learned a lot about the soil, and I think that's going to help me in the future with land deals. You know, I kind of had to look at the GIS maps and learn about the different types of soil and be able to explain that to the buyers. And it's been a super, super interesting process, man. I've learned probably more about land in the last 2 weeks than I did my entire 6 years as a realtor. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you learn. You're getting paid to learn. And just so anybody listening to this, here's the perk. Like, that's basically a percolation test, you know, almost like coffee percolating through a filter. You want to make sure that water's able to drain through that soil to be able to put a septic system in, like places like Colorado where there's a lot of rocks. They can engineer the actual septic system for that. And then the survey is ultimately going to add value to that property or make that property more valuable. So all those things are really cool. And, you know, sometimes you don't even need any of that. And what's awesome is your buyer is familiar with that area. They are a land sale specialist realtor out there. So you really, at the end of the day, they're doing all the due diligence and the research.
Absolutely. And that was a big reason why I wanted to go with try and find a local buyer. Because, you know, if you obviously there's a lot of people out of town who would potentially been interested, but you know, like you said, do they know the area? Do they understand the right people to contact to get the ball rolling quickly? And so she had already been in contact with surveyor and a soil guy. So they were able to jump on it really quickly. And like you said, they have that market knowledge. She's already doing business in the area. So that was why I wanted to reach out to them and try and sell it to them opposed to, versus selling it to someone who doesn't know the area.
You are so right about that. The first piece of land I ever purchased was $285. I called real estate office right down the street from that land because it was not buildable. And that realtor is the one that purchased it from me for $5,000. And that's awesome. She knew the area way better than I did. And I probably could have gotten a lot more for it, but $285 turning it to $5,000 the next day.
That's a good deal every day of the week, twice on Sunday.
Yeah, if I could do those 10 or 12 times a day, I'd be really happy about it. And then I'd automate it and delegate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's talk about the numbers.
Yeah, man. So,
what did you buy it for?
So I got it under contract for $445. I try not to get, Brent calls it one-itis, where you're worried about one deal. And, I've just moved on to the next one and moved on to the next deal in the pipeline. But, you know, originally I was looking at selling it for $11,000 an acre, which would have put it at like $580 or $590. But, you know, because of this market that we're in, because of the fact that interest rates are going up, buyers are kind of hesitant right now. I wanted to make sure that I got it sold quickly. Yeah. So I got it under contract for $490. So, you know, I could have made a lot more. I think I probably left a little bit on the table. I could have sold it for, you know, probably $510, $520, something like that. But, you know, I was willing to, you know, give them a little bit of a deal just to make sure that they were comfortable so that we could, do something and make something happen. Cause I didn't want it to sit, to sit a while and, you know, and then potentially have to figure something out. So I wanted to get it sold quickly. So, so got it under contract for $445. The end buyer's paying $490. So it should be a nice little deal. But, I definitely wish I would have got more out of it, but you know, you live and learn. And so just move on to the next deal.
Never, ever, ever look back. There's a reason why your windshield is like 6 foot wide and your rear view mirror is like 12 inches wide. You don't need to look back. You know, this is an absolute win. Money loves speed. You gave this to your buyers at a discount. Your seller's happy. You're getting it off of her plate. I'm going to pull out my calculator. So you sold it for $490,000.
Correct.
And you paid $445,000.
That's correct.
No real estate commissions, right?
No real estate commissions.
So and are you paying any closing costs?
I do. I have to pay one set of closing costs. So they're paying buyers are paying theirs. I'm paying we're probably going to do a double close. So I'll have one set of closing costs. So hopefully I'll walk away with 40, man. That's the goal. So we'll see what happens. But, I was talking with Brent the other day and we're talking about you can't count your chickens until they hatch. But, that one's in the pipeline. So I'm pretty excited.
That is amazing. That's kind of what I was coming up with, about $40,000 you're going to walk away with. And how much did you spend on pulling that list and texting that list?
Probably, I actually got that list back in like June and was just so busy in June and July. I was just kind of procrastinating, honestly. I was stuck in the education loop, as Brent calls it, and was just, not really taking action. And then I had a list. It was like 3,500 people. I think I paid... Got it on batch leads. I paid probably, I don't know, maybe $300 for it, $400. And then I had it skip trace and everything. So it was, less than $1,000 all in. So it's pretty crazy.
$39,000 total net profit. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, here's the victory bell for Josh Hill. That is phenomenal. Just keep stacking those. Just keep stacking those wins. And by December, you might have three or four of those in the pipeline that just all add up. And you're only 30% through that list, if I remember correctly.
Absolutely. I'm like 30 or 35% through that list. Got to get through that list. But I'm just super excited about what the future has to offer with not just with wholesaling, but, with land. That's what I'm obviously going to keep going after the ugly houses, big checks, but I love land. I know the potential for it. And so I'm super excited to do this full time, man. I'm really excited about transitioning and really doing this full time and just getting on the phones all day and pounding the phones and sending out texts and mail and just super excited about what's going to happen in the future.
That's incredible. I love how you just shifted. The lady didn't want to sell the house. She wanted to list the house, but I got this piece of land, no emotion whatsoever. We had it forever, never been surveyed. You're going to make about $39,000 on it. I mean, that's what we have to do as real estate investors, is just be the solution provider, provide speed, solutions, convenience, and just be able to kind of step back and think on our feet. I mean, you made that 5-hour round trip and you deserve to be paid on it. I was kind of calculating up. 2 to 3 hour conversation, 30-minute conversation, probably a 30-minute conversation with that realtor. How much time did you spend doing research and due diligence?
I did spend a lot of time on the due diligence, probably more than I should have. But I mean, I would say all in, man, I've probably got 10 hours in this thing, probably
10 hours. Holy cow. Maybe you should get a full-time job. 10 hours.
Exactly. So yeah. But
I like to break down the numbers. $39,000, divide that by 10 hours. You're making $3,900 an hour. I got a neighbor, he's a surgeon, and he walks around like his stuff doesn't stink. But you make a lot more than he does.
Exactly. Just got to stay consistent, man. Just got to be consistent. That's the name of the game. And that's what I'm trying to do is I've kind of been on this roller coaster of doing a deal here, a deal there, but I really want to dial it in. And ever since joining the TTP family in June, man, my mindset's just completely shifted. Like the entire way that I approach my day and my way I approach sellers and the way that I deal with adversity has just completely changed, man. And so big shout out to you and Brent and everybody, man. You guys are awesome. And, it's really interesting because when I first started, back in June when I joined, I had no idea that the amount of support and like motivation and information and guidance and stuff. So it's been an amazing 4 months. It really has been.
Man, thank you so much for that testimonial. And I know over there at TTP Wholesaling Inc., they are providing a tremendous amount of support and it takes an entire tribe. And my hat's off to Brent Daniels for everything they're doing over there. And I'll make sure that he hears this as well. What would you say to someone that's being a little inconsistent, or maybe they've gotten started and had some roadblocks and, you know, they didn't get any success when they first started? What would you say to that person just getting started?
I would say just keep going, man. You just got to keep going. There's a, it's an interesting, it was a picture the other day I saw, and everybody's probably seen it, where there's a guy, there's two guys digging, and one guy is at the bottom of the picture, and he's digging, and it shows he's literally like 6 inches away, like one more axe swing, and he's about to hit gold, and he's quitting. And then, you know, the guy on top, he keeps going, and he gets the gold. And so I think it's a lot of people quit right before they're, you know, they're about to get there. And so you got to keep pushing, man. There's a lot of people that are going to tell you no. And that's one thing I've gotten better at, is just learning how to take no and just keep going, man. Look for the no's, you know, try to disqualify people. Like Brent says, your ugly leads hide your good leads. So, you know, disqualify people as quickly as possible, and just keep going, man. And it's just a numbers game. You know, you're going to come across people that want to sell, they need to sell at a discount, and they're going to be willing to trade that equity for speed and convenience. So you just got to keep moving, you know, keep pushing. You're going to find deals out there. There's tons of deals. And I feel like right now, with the way the market is, a lot of people are, you know, taking their foot off the brake. And I feel like that's a bigger opportunity for us to push forward and get even more deals. So yeah, you just got to keep pushing, and it's got to be relentless.
That is so true. And, you know, you almost have to figure out, how many no's did I just get to get that one yes to make the $39,000? And you're going to find out it's not as many as you think. Maybe it's 30 or 40 or 50 no's, but on 51, you get paid. Same exactly. Thing with your list. You know, if you pull a list of 3,000 and you know that, okay, what's 30%? Let's just say it's 1,000 for easy math. You know, what's 30% of 1,000? 300 leads, right? So you know you have to get through 300 leads to get one deal. So it's almost like just little psychology games like that. I just got to get to 300 today. Just got to get to 300 tomorrow. Just got to get to 300 the next day. And then it adds up. We do it in the Land Sharks. For example, one of our students, John is his name. He mailed 1,000 land offer letters and he made $8,000 off of those 1,000. Awesome. So a little psychology game we do is like, he now calculates, okay, for every 1,000 letters, I know I'm going to make at least one deal. I'm going to get one deal. And he now knows he got paid roughly $8 a letter for every time he sent one out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. Crazy ROI. You just got to keep pushing. I mean, that's the name of the game. You know, you're not going to come across it, you know, instantly. But if you keep pushing, I mean, it's just a numbers game. You know, you're going to talk to enough people, you know, you're going to come across the people that are motivated. And I feel like that's true, man. A lot of people don't have success instantly, and I've been guilty of this myself, where, you know, you've had a long day of people telling you no. And so you kind of get down and you think that, you know, it's never going to happen, but you just got to keep pushing. And really it takes one deal. Like Brent says, it just takes one deal to break your brain. And when you get that deal and you realize, wow, what else is possible? Like, what else have I been, you know, limiting? And so, you know, that one deal can really change your mindset, your momentum, and kind of put you on a path moving forward to where you can, you know, operate from a consistent, you know, basis. And that's when things start to take off. So that's where I'm trying to get to right now. And got a lot of work to get there, but I'm on my way, and I really appreciate what you're doing and what Brent and everybody else is doing. You know, it's just amazing to get a little small win, but you just gotta keep picking them up and keep moving.
Small wins add up. Where can people find you, Josh Hill?
Well, I am kind of been MIA for a little while. I haven't had social media, but I am in the TTP group. So, and I do have a Facebook, so I'm in there as well. Joshua Hill. So, looking at getting a YouTube channel maybe here in the next few months. I need to pick up my game and get on your level and start getting some deals and making some videos and helping some people. So hopefully in the next few months, I'll have a YouTube channel.
Just hit the record button. You know, that's all you got to do is actually record yourself doing these deals. And I wish someone would have told me that years ago, because I was like, well, it's not perfect. You know, I don't want you to see all my mistakes that I make. I wish I just would have hit the record button a long time ago. Here you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Josh gave you so many gold nuggets. He was a little inconsistent, and he just kept picked it right back up where he left off. If you're interested in joining the community, go to wholesalinginc.com/land or just wholesalinginc.com. Schedule a call with our team, fill out the application, and we'd love to bring you into the community and surround you with other rhinos just like Josh Hill. Thanks so much for jumping on. God bless, sir.
Appreciate you, Brent. Thank you so much, man.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.